Welcome, friends. We are thinking about stories and the stories that are out there in our culture that really try to give us rest, try to give us true meaning and say, this is where we can find salvation. And we're thinking about these cultural stories, again, so that we can be aware of how these are active and how these are at work, not just in how people think, but in how we live, in what's communicated to us as this is the good life in our broader culture. And so as we think about these stories, we have to realize these are not, it's not so much that these stories are directly presented to us, right? Because if they were, in a lot of ways, it might send up red flags and we'd say, oh, like that doesn't quite fit with our Christian faith. But they're often at work in much more subtler ways, that it's in cultural practices and in attitudes. A lot of things we just take for granted that actually embody these stories that don't fit, that don't align with God's story of who He is and who we're called to be in His people. Now, what I want us to think about in this particular video is the story of naturalism. And what is, when I say naturalism, what I mean is this view that there's nothing more than nature. There is no supernatural. That everything that is just matter in motion. That a lot of people in our world ascribe to this view of things. That there is no God. There are no other spiritual beings. That really all we have to do to understand the nature of reality is to understand that it's physical. It's matter in motion, that everything ultimately can be explained in that way and understood in that way. And so that's why I want to be clear here, it's not just affirming nature or creation, which I think Christians would want to do. It's the ism piece of this that says nature is all there is, matter is all there is. And that's the key to understanding reality. Now, one of the ways that this shows up is in our culture's attitude toward sex and toward bodies. Ultimately, if naturalism is true, what this means is that our bodies or sex has no real meaning. Because this is just it's a physical act. It's something that, you know, if you tie this in with the story of individualism, you know, each individual should be respected, so they have the right to define what they do with their body, to define when or how or with whom they would participate in sexual activity. You know, so this combines with that kind of individualism to say, you define what seems right to you, you do what seems right to you, because deep down there is this belief in naturalism, that really our bodies have no meaning in and of themselves, that sex doesn't actually mean anything. It's a physical activity. And beyond that, there's really nothing that we can say actually defines it and says, well, this is what it is, or does have this meaning. And so naturalism looks at our bodies, looks at sex, and says, you get to decide what that means. You get to decide what you do with your body, because there is no link between nature and the supernatural. There is no link between God as creator made our bodies and has said, this is what our bodies are for. God is the one who created sex, and this is the meaning that sex has because God as creator gave it that. All of that is blocked out of the picture. And in fact, again, to think about how naturalism and individualism connect, really, if I were to say to somebody, well, this is how God defines the meaning of your body, this is how God defines the meaning of sex, from the perspective of individualism, that actually looks like oppression, like somebody else is telling me what this means rather than me getting to define for myself what I think this means or what I want it to mean. Now, if we look at ourselves, if we look at our world as mere matter, matter in motion, then how do we think about technology and salvation? Well, the theologian and ethicist Alan Verhey talks about technology in this way. He says, because we view ourselves as just matter, technology becomes the art of altering nature as a response to suffering. The art of altering nature as a response to suffering. So this is something that, to be clear, human beings can do. And part of what's happened, especially in the modern world, thanks to science, is that we have figured out how to alleviate and reduce all kinds of different human suffering. I think especially when you think about something like vaccinations, or when you think about something like easily available medicine that that previous generations didn't have, what we see is that our world today has significantly less physical suffering because we have embraced technology, because we've embraced medical technology as a means to reducing suffering. And I want to be clear, much of that is good. That when I talk about technology, you know, some people use technology in a very kind of negative way. But part of how God has made us as His image bearers is that we can interact with His world, that we can use science, that we can use our reason to look and test and experiment and think about how things work in God's world. And so I am not by any means anti-science or anti-technology. We can use those things to do amazing things and bring amazing benefits and blessings to people. But what happens in our world is that oftentimes technology and medical technology, how we can interact with our bodies, becomes the ultimate end, the ultimate goal that we're striving for. And so in this view, salvation, right, you will find real rest and peace when you can master nature, when you have so much knowledge about your body that disease will be completely eradicated, that any sense of struggle will be overcome. And so we can see human beings not only pushing into these areas of medical technology, but we see people in some ways even going beyond that to say, how can we enhance the human body? Not that there's anything wrong with it, but how do we actually enhance it and go beyond some of the natural limits that we might have? And so what you start to see is that this view looks at any kind of suffering, any kind of physical difficulty as a problem to be overcome without taking into account the fact that we are more than physical beings. That part of what this does is it often blocks out the spiritual reality. And it does this in a couple of ways. It does this by failing to see that sometimes, actually, suffering does something to us in a very positive way, spiritually. Now, this is very counterintuitive, especially to American culture, because American culture says suffering is to be avoided at all costs. If you can ever avoid suffering, you should get out of it. But Scripture seems to say that it's actually as we enter into suffering, as we walk with Jesus, we realize that life will present difficulties. We recognize that maybe we will suffer even specifically for the sake of the gospel, and that's something not to be avoided, but to walk through with hope and with grace and understand that God is at work in that. And so part of the problem with this story is it essentially says there's no place for any kind of physical suffering. That should be overcome so that you can fully control yourself and control your body, control your circumstances, no matter what that might look like. And it's easy to see, if we start to have the eyes that train ourselves to see these stories, it's interesting to see how this story about technology, this story about our bodies, the story about nature, how this gets embodied in all kinds of different medical concerns related to questions of our bodies, of our sexuality, even of gender identity and things like that. And so here are just a couple of examples of medical technology that connects with how we think about marriage, sexuality, etc. So things like contraception. Again, this is something I've found. A lot of Christians in a North American context don't even really think about contraception as a moral or theological or ethical question. They've just accepted that, especially different forms of technology, whether it's condoms or the pill, that these things are things that say they just use and don't really even think about them possibly having theological or moral implications. The same thing with sterilization, especially elective sterilization, that somebody would, in essence, end voluntarily the reproductive abilities of their bodies, just again, not because out of any elective or out of any medically necessary reason, but just saying, I want to close down, in essence, this part of my body so that it doesn't function in this way anymore. Think about things like abortion is another one that is an issue that Christians are involved in, a hot button political issue. But really, it is an issue of medical technology and what is a valid use of medical technology and what is not. Some others connected to procreation, to children and our bodies as well, is assisted reproductive technologies. We'll spend a unit down the road thinking about this one in a little bit more detail. But again, part of what I see is a lot of Christians oftentimes will embrace assisted reproductive technologies, like in vitro fertilization or even sperm donation or surrogacy. And they haven't really thought through some of the important philosophical and biblical questions about what does this say? What does this say about our view of our bodies, our view of who we are as male and female, our view of children? A couple others are hormone replacement therapies and gender reassignment surgeries. So this, and again, we'll spend some time thinking about folks who wrestle with gender dysphoria and understanding that in a deeper way. But there is this willingness in our broader culture to say we will dramatically alter our bodies, whether it's by hormone replacement therapy or through sex reassignment surgeries, that there's this willingness to radically alter our bodies. And so we have to be aware of, as we think about that, obviously, I hope it's obvious, how do we engage people with compassion as we think about some of the struggles and questions that lead us? Because all of these things are things that people come to because in some way, shape, or form, they are trying to avoid some kind of suffering, something that's difficult. And so we have to approach all of these things with a sense of compassion about why somebody might be compelled to seek out different forms of technology, to make alterations to their body. But we have to then be aware of deep down, oftentimes what's driving that in our culture is this story of naturalism. That really your bodies are yours to just shape, alter, do whatever you want with. That's very different from the biblical narrative that says we are not our own. Our bodies are not our own. But that our bodies are created by God, that our bodies are meant to actually put on display the redemptive story of who Jesus is. And so we have to think very carefully about how we embrace medical technology or not, how that affects our bodies, the impact that makes in our sexuality, our marriage, our children. And so as we, in the next unit, begin to dig more deeply into Scripture, into understanding how has God made us, what is this biblical story, what is this biblical narrative, we have to recognize that we never preach that, teach that, read that, engage with it. We never do that in a vacuum. We're always doing it in a way that is engaged with the story of individualism, the story of romance, the story of naturalism, so that we can be careful, so we can be reflective about positively articulating, here's what the Bible says, and helping people hear that as good news, helping them understand who Jesus is and how that gets reflected and worked out in our singleness, in our marriage, in our sexuality. So until next time, blessings.